Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, October 17th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. So we're back with more of the Erotic Mind series, but today we return to our roots, the world of words. After a couple of weeks of delightful chat with a noted erotic visual artist, the series continues with a conversation with an established erotic literary artist. Today, we travel to the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, don't you know, to check in with that super talented author, Hank Edwards. Hank is quite the humorist, and so when I prevail upon him to share a selection of the fruit of his erotic mind, he graciously agrees to read a delectable morsel from one of his newest novels, Plus Ones. You're going to love this, sex fans. For more of Hank, be sure to visit him on his site, hankedwardsbooks.com. You'll find his story orgy contributions on his blog, hankedwardsbooks.com/blog, and you can also look for him on Facebook and Twitter, too. Say, speaking of delightful smut, today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time, but that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab. The How-To Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Welcome, Hank, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've all been patiently waiting to peek into your big, fat, uncut, erotic mind.
Oh my.
I know. We're off to a good start, huh?
Yes, we are.
So, would you like to say hello to all the nice people in our audience?
I would. Hello, nice people. How are you? You all look beautiful.
Aren't they lovely?
They are.
All dressed for the occasion, too.
They did.
You know?
I really like that one shirt.
It is. Oh. So, listen, I love spending time on your website, cleverly named hankedwardsbooks.com.
Yes, we're very clever here.
What struck me first, I mean second, right after all those hot men in the header, was the diversity of your writing styles. Your books run from the mysterious and dangerous to the humorous.
Yes.
How
they
is
really
that possible?
Do. They do. I don't seem to be able to just like light on one genre and, you know, I like to challenge myself, I guess, with the writing.
Okay. Good. And what? And there's a specific challenge, I'm assuming, associated with each of the genre?
Oh, there is. There is. Comedy, you know, I really tend to float back more towards comedy. I love, even in my suspense stories or, you know, even my time travel romance, I like to sprinkle a little bit of comedy in there. And that can be really difficult to do because, you know, it takes a light touch and it takes like a certain touch. So some people say I have a real knack for that, which I take as a very big compliment because, you know, I'd love a good comedy and like watching like sitcoms and things like that. You can really tell the good from the bad, right? You know, so
it's true.
It makes me feel good to hear people say that. So I tend to focus more on the comedic, even though each genre has its own challenges. I mean, comedy can be really tough to write. And then the suspense, you really have to know when to like take it up a notch and then like let it go, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just keep it all ramped up all the time, so.
Right, because then we'd all be crazy.
It's kind of like my day job, yes.
There's lots of people in the world, and I've heard from some people like this in this series that can't abide the whole idea of humor and sex in the same sentence, let alone in the same book. So I'm a really big fan of smutty humor. That must be an interest of yours as well. I mean, you didn't just happen upon your ability to create this stuff, did you?
No, I really didn't. What started out, my first novel that I got published was called Fluffers, Inc. And I had been writing short stories for magazines and submitting them. Mm-hmm. And I had the idea, hey, I'll write a series of short stories and submit them, and there would be like, a monthly story, right? So I was like, hey, that's a good idea. And it just kind of came to me, like, what if this guy, I mean, this was back in the 90s, like, what if this kid from Idaho moves to Los Angeles to become a fluffer, but he's really bad at it?
Mm-hmm.
He's really bad at it, but he's got that, like that heart of gold that everybody loves him, and, we want to give Charlie a chance. So I started writing these stories, and my partner, who is wise beyond me in many aspects, said, why don't you just make it a book? It's like, oh, yeah.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, I see what you did there. So that's kind of like how that whole first novel came together. And then, Charlie just kind of drew breath and became this character that I've had in three novels now and a couple of short stories. So,
cool. So do you have an affection for your characters? Are you glad when they reappear? I mean, you're obviously in charge, but are you happy to welcome them back? Obviously, Charlie appears periodically.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I love, like you said, like hearing from them, because now and then, they'll fall quiet because you hear the voices,
yes.
Right? When a new story
sure
comes up,
you do.
You hear the voices. And the voices. Yeah, so that's okay. Edging carefully away. And but a lot of times, what happens to me is I get like a movie trailer in my head. I mean, I was raised on TV, right? And I love movies, and I see a scene, and then things just kind of like expand from there, and you hear the voice, thought he was alone or something, you get that whole movie trailer for this guy going. And with Charlie, every now and then I'll see something that'll make me think, wow, that could be really dangerous to somebody who's as clumsy as Charlie. And he'll just kind of like appear, like I'll get a scene. So yeah, I've had him showing up lately, but I'm really too busy to pay attention to him. But I'm making notes about new stories. So I haven't finished with Charlie yet.
Yes. So you have this new romantic comedy coming out called Plus Ones. Has that been published yet?
It has. That came out the end of August.
Ah,
so yeah, it's available. Yes. I know. I need to update my website, don't I? Oh my gosh! I just thought of it.
You better get on it. So tell us about this book.
So this book is, again, it's a romantic comedy, so see, I'm kind of leaning back towards a comedy here. But I came up with the idea of, what if these two men sort of met during this like rash of gay weddings? So like, I live in Michigan, and it's not legal here. And what if it passed? And what if there was this whole summer of gay weddings, and these two ended up being the plus ones at all these gay weddings, but they never kind of matched up.
Uh-huh.
And they go on these disastrous dates to these weddings, and they're like, there's just like crazy stuff that happens. I have no idea where I come up with this stuff, but like lube wrestling, and this one guy lube wrestling, and it's just crazy. And actually, I have seen lube wrestling, which is very, it can be
icky.
Very, icky. It can be very titillating if the right people are the wrestlers.
That's right.
Let's put it that way. Now, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. So, being the master of these genres, do you ever find yourself wondering, how in the world will I top that in my next book?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. In Vancouver Nights, I kind of really pushed myself over the line. That was the third book in my Charlie Hegensford series, the Fluffers, Inc. series. I had a lot going on in there. So one of my friends had challenged me in that book to say, like, they were like, you know what, Charlie's been doing the vanilla sex for a while. I think you should make him go a little over the boundaries a little bit. So I was like, all right, let's do it. So
it's Charlie, not me. I don't care.
I know, exactly. I was like, okay, Charlie, get ready. I'm going to do some stretches.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. So I had him go to a sex club, you know, and they had water sports there, and they had like a fisting room and things like that. So, you know, I had to watch some movies and kind of like understand the whole thing about it.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Just all for research.
That's right.
All for research.
Science. Art.
Exactly. Science.
For art.
Art, in quotes. And so then he also had a champagne enema.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of, I don't know where that came from. I kind of came up with the title of that chapter, and then I kind of had to write to it. So it was like champagne enemas and chug-a-lug dreams. So, yeah. Taking a classic, making it mine.
So when did you discover that you had a knack for this sort of thing?
You know, I've been writing since I was like preteen. I loved reading. My parents are big readers, and so I've been reading for a long time. I was never really good at sports, and so, you know, I was always kind of the lanky kid who couldn't control his limbs long enough to catch a ball and stuff like that. So I started reading a lot. That was before internet, before really video games. Uh-huh. Okay, so yes, old.
I see. So besides your novels and your short fiction, has appeared in numerous anthologies. Do you know how many publications you have out there, hard copy and web-based?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I have seven novels. Seven. Three of them are paperback and ebook.
Uh-huh.
And then the other four are ebooks. Ebooks only.
Uh-huh.
And then, wow, many anthologies, and they keep cropping up. I always forget that I've sent something in, so, which I don't know how that makes me sound, but, you know,
prolific.
You send something in, and then people, like, get back to you and say, hey, we'd like to, like, it's months later, right?
Yes,
you know,
right, and it's
like,
hard to keep track.
I know, I'm like, geez, and I even have a spreadsheet.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's how I found you, because Cleus Press sent me Frat Boys, anthology Frat Boys, and you were in it, so
yeah,
there you
old
go.
Old glory, yes.
Yes. So you have a day job, yes?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did that sound exasperated? I'm so sorry. Yes, I do.
And I'm sure it's a really fulfilling one.
Love it.
Hi, Ma. Hi, boss. You're cranking this stuff out, and it's good stuff. It's not just dreck. So how is it that you find time for this? When do you touch yourself impurely, for example?
There's always time to touch yourself impurely.
That's so true. Like, I'm doing it right now.
Exactly. Oh, good.
You're so stimulating.
You know, it's... Wow. It's taken... It's a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually joined a group on Facebook. I was invited to join a group. We call ourselves Story Orgy. And we put out blog posts, free mail blog posts every Monday. And like that's between 1,500 and 2,000 words that we're trying to get down. And so that's a lot. And then we're doing anthologies and things in between there. And then I have my ideas for books in the meantime. So a lot of times I get up, a lot of weekend time is devoted to the writing, and I have no idea how I do it. I really don't know.
Do you have do you have to warm yourself up or something, or do you just like crawl out of bed and grab a cup of coffee and find yourself at the keyboard?
Yeah, you know, what actually has really helped me a lot is I've started exercising more regularly.
Uh-huh.
And I know it sounds very trite and very, like, you know, rote, like, you know, Michelle Obama, exercise. But it really helps my blood flow. And I do an elliptical, and I try to do at least 30 minutes on the elliptical, right? And that's like, that's a lot of work. And, but I start getting ideas. I actually came up with a, kind of like a whole, like, vision of a story that I like hurried home and like kind of like made notes about for probably next year. I'm going to have to write that one, but that has helped. And I'm kind of like always kind of in the back of my head, like running through story ideas and things like that. So kind of like mental writing, sort of like percolating.
Do you have a ritual?
You know, I really don't. On the weekends, especially in the winter, I'll make a pot of tea. So, because I don't drink coffee, so I make a pot of tea and I kind of like, you know, feed the cats and then we all like mill around for a little while and then, you know, I'm thinking about stuff and then I go and sit down at the keyboard and start writing and, you know, if I can get in a couple of hours of good, like solid writing time there, that gets me a lot to work with. Huh. And then when I lose the thread, which happens sometimes, you know, you start writing and some character just starts acting like some other character from another book. You're like, okay, there's a problem. So. Yeah. I go back to the beginning and start reading and editing and try and pick up where that problem was.
So there's two processes. One is writing and one is editing or revising.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes. It's a lot of editing. Oh, my gosh.
it's harder than the writing, I find.
Yeah, it is. It really is because you had this original idea and then suddenly it might be something completely different. So suddenly you find yourself writing not this book that you thought or this story that you thought, but like ramping off in a whole new direction that you had no idea of. So it's exciting and, you know, frustrating.
Yeah. I was busy writing a book about death and dying, and I found that I could only write in the early morning, and so I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would write for an hour and a half before I went to the gym, before I went to work, and it was, and that was my creative time. In the afternoon, I was completely spent, or late afternoon, I was completely spent, and so I couldn't write, but I could edit, which was an interesting kind of thing. And so it kind of worked out for me.
Yeah, it did. Well, especially with a topic like that. Oh, my goodness, death and dying.
There's comedy in it. There is. There is. I'm serious. We'll have to talk about it at some point.
Okay, that would be good.
So listen, I want to make sure that you know that you're welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment, because talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better, if you ask me.
Awesome. Well, actually, I just so happen to have something.
Get out! Do you really? All right.
I do. Now, this is from my story, Plus Ones.
Okay. The new one.
The new one, right. That one that's just available. And there's another new one, actually, after that. Oh, my God. How do I
see how you do it?
I know. So we'll talk more about that.
All righty.
So this is from Plus Ones, and the two main characters, Evan and Paul, have just met each other at a party, and Evan is making drinks. Paul leaned against the bar, and Evan almost groaned aloud at the size of Paul's hand. A flash of fantasy seared his imagination. Paul's hand around his cock, stroking slowly as Paul's tongue slipped into Evan's mouth. He could imagine running his own tongue along the edge of Paul's teeth, feeling the small gap between the two in front as his orgasm climbed steadily up from his balls. "What are you making?" Paul asked, interrupting his thoughts. "Pardon?" Evan looked down to where he crushed sugar in the bottom of the glass. "Oh. This is an old-fashioned. It's Alden's signature drink." "Looks pretty complicated," Paul said. "Yeah, just like Alden." Evan added bitters, whiskey, and a lemon twist, then held it up and waved a hand around the glass. "Ta-da! The old-fashioned." "Oh, very nice." Paul's smile revealed two dimples and made Evan catch his breath. "Can you handle a whiskey sour?" Evan made an "oh, please" face and turned back to the bar. As he mixed Paul's drink, he asked, "So, you work with John?" "That's right. I'm his assistant at the station. I just started there a few months ago." Evan nodded down at the bar top, his mind placing Paul at KBIT, the news station where John worked as a sports editor. In his mind, Evan could see Paul sitting in a dark editing bay, blue-eyed gaze locked on the small monitors in front of him as he tried to find the perfect clip of a football or hockey game. His big hands would press buttons and turn knobs as he chewed on the straw from his drink at lunch. "So is John a merciless boss?" Evan asked, glancing up with a smile. Paul shrugged and grinned. "No, not merciless. He knows what he wants, just not always how to ask for it." Evan stopped in his drink preparation and gave Paul an assessing look. "What?" Paul blushed. "Was that too mean?" He leaned in closer and whispered, "I sometimes forget to use my mental filter." Evan breathed in his scent. It wasn't a cologne, but something masculine and clean. Then he blinked and looked away. "Sorry, no, it wasn't mean at all. It was actually a very astute description of John. Most people just see his bluster." He glanced at Paul, and their eyes locked again. Evan felt that same vertigo he had experienced in the kitchen addle his brain, the party sounds fading away as if he and Paul were the only occupants of Alden's large lakefront home. "The numbers are coming in!" someone shouted from the other room, snapping him out of his trance. Evan took a breath and dropped his gaze. His system flooded with adrenaline and testosterone. He had never experienced anything like this before and had no idea how to deal with it. When he met Paul's gaze, it was like a magnet grabbing steel, and he could not look away. What the hell was this about? A shout of surprise that sounded like it came from John in the upper level of the house roused Evan from his internal musing, and he grabbed both drinks. Holding up the chilled glasses, he flashed Paul his brightest smile and said in a sing-song voice, "And that, class, is how you make an old-fashioned and a whiskey sour. Questions?" Paul chuckled and reached out for his drink, but before he could take it, Evan heard a sound from behind him, followed by shouts of alarm. It was a familiar galloping sound, and a knot of anxiety tightened inside him as he realized what it meant. He tried to will his legs to move, but he wasn't fast enough. And before he could set the drinks on the bar or press himself against the wall, a heavy, solid body struck him from behind, furry legs clamping around his waist and driving him to the floor. As he collapsed beneath his attacker, Evan saw the contents of both drinks fly from their glasses as if in slow motion, and watched helplessly as the sticky, sugary bronze of the old-fashioned coated Paul's chest and the concoction of sour mix and whiskey splashed across Paul's crotch. Then he was on the floor, the empty glasses rolling away across the cream carpet as the large furry form started humping him from behind. He knew it was Bandit, of course, Alden and John's Great Dane, that only humped Evan and did so every chance he got. Evan tried to break the dog's grip around his waist, but the animal was strong, and he could not squirm away as Bandit humped him fast and rough. People streamed into the room, drawn by the commotion, and laughter soon followed. Evan's cheeks grew hot in embarrassment, and his forehead burned where it scraped across the carpet from the force of Bandit's motions. He heard Alden enter the room, scold Bandit, and shout to John for help. Evan's hips lifted and fell as Alden tugged repeatedly on the dog's collar, trying in vain to dislodge the Dane. The crowd in the room laughed louder, none of them offering to help, and Evan's forehead scraped harder across the carpet. Finally, Evan felt the dog's grip on his hips loosen, and he crawled away. He got to his feet and turned, attempting a dignified stance despite the situation. The crowd grew quiet, most of them holding a hand over their smiles, some with eyes watery from the force of their laughter. The man Evan had been talking with in the other room, the man with the very white teeth, Bill, if he remembered correctly, knelt near the fallen glasses, one hand hooked alongside Alden's through Bandit's collar. The dog coughed and gagged from the force of Alden and Bill's struggles, tongue hanging out and brown eyes gazing up at Evan with unabashed glee. Paul was nowhere in sight, and Evan felt an odd mix of relief and disappointment. "Are you all right?" Bill asked, genuine concern on his face. "Well," Evan said with a huff as he smoothed out his clothes, "that wasn't any worse than my junior prom." The room exploded in laughter, and smiling as brightly as possible, he nodded to the group and turned for the stairs.
You do have a knack.
Well, thank you.
That is really lovely. That is really, really lovely. I love it.
Yes, and things go downhill from there for him, so.
Doggy erotica, I think that's the first time.
I know. It's not furry, it's not bestiality, really. It's not, just, you know.
There's a fine line. I love it.
There really is.
Alrighty. So before we get to discussing erotica in general and your work in particular, okay, let's talk about you. Is Hank Edwards your real name or a nom de plume? And if it is, why?
Okay. Well, it is a nom de plume.
It is. Ah.
It is. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I'm a secret agent. No, I decided on a pen name.
Uh-huh.
Because when I was starting writing, see, I looked at writing as, I mean, it's a passion, but it's also kind of a business.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at it as a brand. So it's kind of like, I think of it as like a car dealer, right? Like a manufacturer, like GM has Pontiac, uh-huh, Chevrolet, right? Oldsmobile. So I was like, you know what? I want to write different types of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want people to know what they're going to get with each.
Oh, that makes sense.
Brand, right? So I'm seen out in public. I've got my picture posted places. I'm not ashamed of what I write. There's people, I don't tell people at the day job that I, you know, what I do. So, but you know, it was just more of a branding kind of thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
And how did you come up with Hank Edwards?
Oh, well, it was back in the 90s. I love this part. And people ask me about that. And I actually took two of my favorite porn stars from back in the 90s, and I combined their names. So Hank Hightower, who I just love. He's got the best smile and such a sexy little bear. And Eduardo, who is another hot little number from the 90s, and I combined them into Hank Edwards.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you're a consumer of pornography. I like that about you.
Oh, well, of course.
Not everyone is.
Research. Research.
Exactly. Art. For the sake of art. There you go. Okay, that's you give us a brief bio then? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself, where you were born, raised, schooled. Do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Do you have a husband, a partner, a pet? A garden? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's talk about stuff. Okay.
All right.
I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
No kidding.
Yeah. So Motor City, woo! And you know we're going through some tough times now, but we're trying to come back. I still live here on the outskirts of Detroit, and I am the youngest of three. So and the only boy in the family.
Uh huh.
So sorry, Mom. But
there goes the Edwards name, huh?
Oh well, but I have and I've been in Michigan pretty much all my life. I mean, I've traveled, but you know, I went to school in Michigan. I went to Central Michigan University, and I got a degree in English. And so I no idea, you know. I mean, besides writing, don't really use that in my day job.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, I have a partner, and we've been together going on 16 years.
Wow, congratulations!
Yeah, he's very patient. He's a very patient man, and he's very good to me. So and we have two cats that we rescued from the streets. So and they're quite fun usually.
Do they let you work?
Pardon me?
Do they let you work?
You know, they can be very distracting. Sometimes, like in the morning, once they're fed. They're usually pretty good, but then, you know, when they need attention and stuff like that, it gets, like, if I'm in the middle of something, I'm like, ah, you know, I have to call my partner, like, will you come and play with the cats or something, you know? Yeah, that can be a chore, but it's also, they're also, you know, kind of like a muse in a way, so.
Right. Yeah. I have a German short hair pointer, and she does the same thing. I mean, it's like, me. And then more about me. If you don't mind.
Exactly. I think you need to tell me more about me.
touch me. Exactly. Play with me. So, you said that you began writing as a kid, mm-hmm. which is kind of a universal, interestingly enough, in this series. The people I've been chatting with, almost all of them, began their artistic endeavor as a kid, painting or, you know, drawing or writing or something like that, and it really came natural to them, and they've never known a time without it. Is that basically your story?
Yeah, it really, you know what, it really is, because I think the way to learn how to write well is to read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I read so much, and you know, when I was growing up, that was when Stephen King was coming out, and I loved Stephen King.
Right.
And so I was just like devouring all these books, and I really learned a lot about sentence structure and like suspense and telling a story
and
characterization.
Right.
And I started writing stories. Like I would go and see movies, you know, and I wanted to see what happened next. So I'd start writing my own sequels to that.
Oh, how interesting.
So, yeah, so I was like, you know, I want to know what happened. Like an Alien, right? Alien just freaked me out. I loved it. Yeah. And I wanted to know what happened next. So, you know, before Aliens came out, I'd written my own little, like, you know, story as a sequel to it. So,
right.
You know, I just started doing things like that.
How interesting. Mm. And so when were you first published?
Oh, it was in the early 90s. Early 90s. I'm trying to think of the first short story and when that was published.
In a magazine.
It was in one of the, like, Mach or something like that, one of those old magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, I think it was...
Stroker magazines.
Yeah, one of those Stroker magazines, of course. You know, so...
I read about them in a book. I never saw them myself.
Oh, yes. I've heard about them on the street. Nothing that I peruse. Nothing that I've gotten a free sample for.
There you go.
Yes. Hmm.
So it was in a magazine. So that was how you got your start.
Yeah, that was how I got my start. And you know, back then, the internet was just becoming vogue, right? So there was not a lot of information out there.
Right.
You had to write, like, send off for information about publishing, and you had to mail all this stuff in. It all had to go through snail mail, so it was a pain in the ass.
Oh, I guess so. So was When did the erotic stuff begin to show up in your work? Obviously, before you got published in the Stroker magazine. So, did you toy with the erotic dimension of stuff before you got serious about sending your work in?
I did.
Interesting.
Yeah, I toyed with it. You know, I never really imagined what would get me published.
Uh-huh.
I had novels sitting in drawers that I'd typed, you know, on a typewriter, and I had them sitting in drawers, and I just didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
And it was, I'd sent out letters to agents and things like that, and agents just, they're just not interested. And it was,
tell me.
You know, yeah, they're like, go away, boy, come back with your man. But
don't even bother coming back.
Exactly, and even then, not
come to speak.
Yeah, so, you know, it was, I worked with some really hot men over the years at those day jobs.
Uh-huh.
And I would like take those, like, you know, interactions and things at work, and I would like go home and I would write like little blurbs or little short stories. So that's where it kind of started from.
Did you find it at all embarrassing, or did you look back over a story and go, oh my God, I'm really surprised I said that?
Yeah, you know what? Some word choice.
Uh-huh.
I've been like, oh my God, really? but no, I mean the different types of stories and like, yeah, you know, the details of the story. No, it hasn't really been embarrassing. It's been
good for you.
Yeah. It's been kind of like, it's nice to see that liberating, yeah, you know. I can kind of trace that
right,
a little bit.
And do you actually see a progression in terms of what you're capable of, you know, like in terms of saying, you know, or how you refer to genitalia or, you know, sexual behaviors and stuff like that?
Oh, most definitely. Oh, yeah, most definitely. So,
cool.
I, and when I was starting out, I didn't have peers to give this stuff
right,
to that would give me feedback. And now there's this huge community online,
right,
you know, and I've got these friends I can send this off to that they write the same thing, and they, uh-huh, can give me feedback, and it's awesome.
Oh, I think that's really, really great. I want to talk more about that kind of thing because I think that's really important. Because this artistic endeavor that I'm trying to uncover here in this series, The Erotic Mind, is really a solitary kind of thing. They're writing or they're drawing or they're painting or they're sculpting or they're doing something, and it's a solitary endeavor. But it's always nice to be connected to a community of other people who, you know, can give you, as you suggest, feedback or encouragement or have you thought of this kind of stuff. I think that's absolutely marvelous.
Most definitely. It's helped tremendously, and you're not alone. You know, it's just, yeah, you're doing this solitary act, but then you get this immediate feedback and you get this encouragement every day, and it's really unusually different. It's nice.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at my clock and I see that our time for today is up.
Yes. It went so fast.
I know. When you're having a good time, don't you know?
I know.
So I don't suppose you'd consider coming back and talking to us more, because I would really like to know more, and I'd really like to hear another, at least one, reading from your work. Any chance you could be available next week this time?
Oh, let me check my
I'll do cocktails. I'll make cocktails.
Okay, that'd be great.
Alrighty then. Sold. So before we go, would you give us your website address? Walk us around a bit. Tell us what we can find there and where we can buy your books.
Oh, of course. Of course. The website address is www.hankedwardsbooks.com. And if you want to get to my blog, every Monday morning at 6 a.m., don't ask me why that early, we post free mail read there. It's /blog at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And you can see all of my novels are called out there. You can get in touch with me. You can send me an email through there. And all of my novels are available at all fine online retailer sites. Amazon.com has all of them, and allromanceebooks.com, Smashwords has the Charlie books and my newest self-published book, which we can talk about next week.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so lots of fun places to get those.
Alrighty then. So until next week, when we speak again, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks, Hank.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye. What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my interview with Hank Edwards and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. So remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, don't you know? One last thought. I hope you're also following my two other interview series, which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Edge-ucation. I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. And we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom, and here I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth the time you spend with us. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.